Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to the Nate Darling Show. Thanks for dialing us up, downloading us, and all that jazz. With me, as always, is Mel.
Welcome back.
And Larry.
Hola, amigos.
Larry's got some muy caliente tonight.
I'm feisty.
He is. He's got a medal around his neck, and he's ready to rock.
I'm wearing a softball medal.
He is. It is indeed a gold medal softball dealie.
And it has red and blue glitter.
Ah.
It's because my team won the Guerneville Softball Championship. Woo! Go Team Glitter.
You are a champion. We're honored to be in your presence, actually.
Aww,
I feel a little odd.
It's true. Did you ever win a medal for anything, Mel?
Yeah, I've won a couple things. I was a basketball player in high school, and I won some athletic medals and stuff. I won a screaming contest once.
Wow.
Don't do that into the mic, please.
No, I won't. But I screamed the furthest distance. They kept having the judges move further and further away, and my scream carried the longest.
What was this?
It was in Ohio somewhere.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I only have one medal, and it was a U.S. Army Reserve Scholar Athlete Award from high school.
Wow.
Which, if you go back to my childhood home, is still sitting on a shelf in my old bedroom next to a trophy. I have a couple of coaches' awards for basketball and baseball. So,
yeah, I got one of those like metal bowls instead of a trophy once, and I thought that, I don't know, I really wanted a trophy. But I mean, the bowl was neat and all, but I don't know why it had to be a bowl.
If my parents ever move or get rid of their house, I'm nervous because I have like a whole shelf in my closet is my trophies, and I don't ever want to give them up. But I'm not lame enough to want them in my own house.
Right.
But I just want to make sure I know where they are. So if I need to prove my athletic prowess or ice skating prowess or roller skating prowess or baton twirling or football, I have the world's oddest collection of trophies.
And a lot of prowess, apparently.
I've said that word a lot.
It is. It's the word of the night. Prowess.
I am fascinated by the roller skating, ice skating, and football. Mm-hmm. Wow.
My team won the championship. Go Eagles.
All right. Let's start the show off with a little listener mail.
Ooh, I love listener
mail. We have listener mail. John.
Yay.
John from Salinas sends us.
We need to have one like a theme song for listener mail. You should work on
listener
that.
Listener mail.
Ow. There we go. That's our theme song for listener mail. Let's start with Mel. Mel.
Ooh.
Okay.
We have a question for each of us.
Okay.
Mel, what is the craziest thing that ever happened to you while you were a police officer?
Oh, boy. Well, let's see. It's not like I worked in a big city, so we didn't have real crazy stuff. I have a couple, I guess, stories. I think one of the most dangerous, or a couple of the most dangerous moments I ever found myself in was... This is sort of funny. The town that I worked in was a very small town, and for a while at like 4 a.m, the city cops and the CHP and the sheriffs and stuff, everybody on duty would get together and have breakfast, which means like if you wanted to commit a crime, 4 a.m. was the time to do it because everybody was at breakfast.
That's awesome.
And I was, for most of the time I worked, I was the only female in the county, you know, that was working. And I was, of course, on a diet at the time, and I didn't want to go to breakfast and eat garbage at 4 a.m. So I was the only person patrolling basically in the entire county. And I pulled into this parking lot because there was a car idling in the parking lot and it seemed suspicious. And I ran the plate as I pulled up and I blocked them into the space. But before the plate could come back, the guy started to get out of the vehicle. So I got out of my car and I commanded him to get back in his car while I was waiting for the plate to come back. And so I was sort of talking to him. I told him to roll down his window. And he was saying, like, the windows don't roll down. And I was like, I know they roll down. Just roll the windows down. He wouldn't roll the window down. And before the plate came back, the guy starts getting all fidgety. And I can see the inside of the car is all torn up and the glove box is open. So I start realizing, like, something's probably up with this guy. And, again, he starts to get out of the car. And I start to push the door shut. And before I can push the door shut, he pushes it open with all of his weight. And I didn't get back out of the way fast enough. So the door hits me, and then he comes flying out on top of me. And so now we're rolling around on the ground, and all I can think of is, oh, my God, everybody is at breakfast. Like, even if I call for backup, there's no one to show up. Well, apparently while we're rolling on the ground, the call came back that the vehicle came back to some woman or something. I don't even know if they had reported it stolen yet. It may have come back stolen. And I had a training officer at the time I'd been working with. He's still a great friend. And he knew that I was really great about, you know, being responsive on the radio. So when I didn't acknowledge the plate, he knew something was wrong. And so he stood up and kind of announced to everybody, something's wrong, she's in trouble. So apparently every cop in the restaurant got up.
Left their moons over my hand, he's sitting there.
Exactly. At which point I get back on the radio. And I'm trying to get onto the radio and keep this guy from killing me. And we're literally rolling, like barrel rolling, like over each other through this parking lot. And I get on the radio, and apparently, and I listen to it later, and what it sounded like was like, police, cop, dog. And so apparently I was trying to call for backup and telling them to bring the canine unit, but it just sounded like me screaming, I guess, because I was talking so fast and breathing so hard. So anyway, finally the guy and I kind of disengage, and he starts running. The problem is this parking lot is right on the edge of a wooded area that leads up to an old abandoned mental hospital. And
oh, I know exactly where you're talking about.
You know where I'm talking about. And so he starts running into the woods, and I start getting back on the radio saying that we need a perimeter. I need officers to come around the two different directions and that I'm chasing this guy. The problem is once we get in the woods, he's got an advantage because he can keep running. And every time I get to a tree, I have to kind of clear it to make sure I'm safe. And I'm not a huge person. I have like 30 pounds of equipment. So I start throwing my equipment off my gun belt. Anything I don't need, I'm just ripping off and throwing down.
And consequently, they have a trail to follow to find
exactly,
you.
Exactly, right? And so, which, yeah, that comes back in later. So I basically end up with, like, a gun, a flashlight, and two magazines in my pocket, and I drop my whole gun belt, and I'm chasing this guy through the woods, and I look down sort of this mountain, because we're sort of on an elevation, and I see, like, what appeared to me was, like, a convoy of cop cars, and they're all following each other, and I'm like, some of you split off. Like, we need a perimeter. And it seems like everybody's coming one after the other the wrong way, like coming up the hill behind us. So I wind up chasing the guy into the woods. We lose him. The canine finally gets there and starts tracking him. And all the canine found was all the equipment I had dropped. Never found the guy, but the car was stolen. We did recover it. But I was all sorts of banged up from chasing him. But, I mean, it was great that Mike, my training officer, knew me so well and knew that I was in trouble that quick, and they got there pretty quick, but we didn't catch the guy. Apparently another officer in town had also chased him the week before with a stolen vehicle and had lost him, so he was henceforth known as the Jackrabbit.
So let me get this straight. The cops in your town, when they would chase a criminal, rather than setting up a perimeter and different points, would just follow him around like the end of a Benny Hill sketch?
Apparently, yes. All we needed was the music.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then the other story that it makes me think of is we were on patrol one day, and this guy threw a chair out of a window and almost killed one of the officers. Like, it was out of a four-story window. Like, I don't know why he threw the chair out the window, but the officer just happened to be underneath the window. Wow. And so the officer was sort of shocked and stunned, and so the guy comes out of the building and starts running, and the officer – I think we were both running after him, but I guess – I don't know if I was faster or if the officer was trying to collect the chair for evidence. I don't exactly know, but all I know is I ended up alone chasing this guy, calling in like where we were going. And I wind up running what felt like a mile after this guy, and we end up in a parking garage. And I kind of corner him in the garage and realize he's way much bigger than I am.
Way much.
Way much bigger than I am. Yes, he was in technical terms way much bigger than I. And we end up sort of facing off on each other, and he at that point realizes that I'm a woman, I guess. And he turns around and he's like, I can so take you. I'm going to kick your ass. Like, you can't arrest me. And I thought, like, what to do in this situation? Like, I'm not close enough to pepper spray him. I don't carry a taser, and there's no backup coming for at least a minute. So I pondered on it for a minute, and then I pulled out my Glock and pointed at him and said, well, then I'm going to have to shoot you, sir.
I like that you said, sir.
I was really polite. And
sure.
Yeah, and he said, you can't. I mean, you can't shoot me. And I said, no, I can. I learned at the police academy that, wow. No, and it's true. It's true. If I'm protecting myself or the life of others and I can't win in a combat because of the use of force, I'm not going to be able to overpower you, then I can move up to the next level of force. And since you're too far away for me to use pepper spray, I have to go one step above that. So I'll just shoot you. So it's totally your choice. And I will be over here. And you just think on it for a second and let me know. And
so he
decided to get on the ground because nice. I think he believed that I really would shoot him. And I mean, I probably would have had to at some point. I don't know. I mean,
I love that it turned into sort of this education teachable moment. Teaching
it's like
moment.
It's like an ABC after school special / police show.
But I really thought like at some point, if this guy comes at me, I'll have to shoot him because I can't fight him, you know? And so eventually, you know, we got him down, and it did end up in a struggle. Once I holstered my gun and we started to handcuff him, he started to fight, and I wound up getting to pepper spray him, which was totally worth it.
Did he ever explain why he threw a chair out the window?
No, we never got a good explanation on the chair. That's I think weird. He was probably just a little bit drunk and
slightly.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ohio.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to something a little bit lighter. It's a question for Larry.
Oh, I love questions.
Larry.
Yes.
Of all the diva singers, besides Celine Dion, who is your favorite and why?
Oh, my God.
I like this question.
I was not prepared for such extensive questions.
I know. It's very detailed.
Now, there's many ways you could answer this question. You could answer it from a historical perspective.
You answer it in a reasonably short manner?
Yes,
of time.
Yes, I know. I'm stalling to pick. I'm going to answer for what's true for me, not what might be representative for all the
people. Yeah,
we want
to know your diva. So,
yeah, Larry, your
okay.
favorite.
I'm going to say a couple because I don't like to be specific. For me, I'm going to say Kelly Clarkson, although she's not a bad
diva.
She's
not a diva.
Yeah, not really a diva.
I don't mean diva in a necessarily bad way. I just mean like, hell yeah, girl, kind of way. Like, someone who just embodies awesomeness. But I get, okay, so if
I don't feel like she's even big enough to be considered a diva.
Oh my God, don't say that. Don't say that.
Sorry, Kelly.
Oh, now you've done it.
Have you not heard Since You've Been Gone, one of the best pop songs in music history?
Yeah,
truly.
I'm going to have to side with Larry. I actually like Kelly Clarkson.
I do, too. I just don't think she's a diva.
And everyone I know that's met her thinks, like, she's genuine and nice, which makes me like her. I'm going to say I think Beyonce's a huge, huge, huge diva.
There you go.
I'm kind of over her. And Jennifer Lopez. Those two I'd say are the two.
See, I think they're definitely in the diva category. I don't think Kelly Clarkson counts as a diva. I think, like, Whitney Houston
was
a diva. Well, yeah, but I think she was a diva.
So, Mel, are you profiling divas as black? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Aretha Franklin.
Mariah Carey's not full black.
No. What about Madonna? Does she fit in the diva? She's that big. No,
I feel like she's too old to be a diva.
Oh,
sorry,
oh my
Madonna.
God. I have a Madonna story. Last night, I was hanging out with my friend Jim, who was up from L.A. and
at a gay bar.
Well, Hamburger Patties is not really a gay bar.
I know. It's kind of quasi.
It's and they really should warn you about this. When you go into a restaurant or any place like this, if
it's a quasi gay bar,
no, but
it's like a half rainbow flag in the door.
Yes, I want a half rainbow flag to warn me that the music that I'm going to hear is going to be so gay that it could turn you bi curious. That's
Ooh,
what I need to know.
That's a powerful restaurant.
It is. And because every video, it was like Madonna videos and Lady Gaga videos.
Of course.
They played Barbie Girl, for fuck's sake.
I'm a Barbie girl. In a Barbie world.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. Including the one guy who had race.
Come on, Barbie. Let's go
He
party.
Was bald except for the racing stripes on the sides of his
Hells
head.
Hells yes.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, yeah, that was my better. And it was sort of a debate on Madonna as far as, because there were some girls there, and of course there were some guys there, and like, well, do you think Madonna is sexy? And it's like, ew. No, Madonna's triceps are bigger than mine. So no. No.
I don't know. I would never have described Madonna as beautiful.
What about Cher? Is she a diva?
Yes.
I think Cher is the diva, really, at this point.
Yeah. She removed her ribs so she could look skinnier.
Yeah, that's diva. That's taking it to a whole new level of
what
diva.
What about Barbara Streisand?
Why am I debating?
True story. I once went to a Barbara Streisand concert in Washington, D.C. with my
what?
Friend with the gayest name ever, Bruce Queen. I'm not joking. It gets gayer. So... he got tickets because he's a huge Barbara fan. I'm kind of indifferent, but I'm not going to turn down a tickets to an event of that magnitude. They were insane. So they were because she toured with like a 45-piece orchestra and like everything had to be covered in velvet. Seriously, like it was ridiculous. Like she didn't want exposed beams. The tickets were like $500 each or something.
Damn.
All I remember, yeah, my friend Bruce Queen had a lot of money. He also took me to Disney World. That's another story. So we're sitting there and we're kind of making fun of everyone because everyone's either like 65-year-old like woman with their husbands and it was like their Christmas or Hanukkah gift or like their anniversary, or it was older gay men with their younger gay boy toys, and we're making fun of it. I'm like, Bruce, who wasn't really old, he was like 40, 42, 43, and I was like 20.
You were his boy toy.
Yeah,
like
pretty
27.
Much.
I was like, Bruce, what do you think people are looking when they look at us? He's like, oh, just two friends. I'm like, I think the word sugar daddy might be somewhere in there, and he just laughed.
But. Oh, Bruce Queen.
So, yeah, Barbara's definitely a diva.
There we go.
See, I picked some white divas.
yay, we have a diversity. Oh, we didn't pick any Asian divas. Michelle Kwan.
Sure. Now the final question goes to me, Nate. Why have you never been to a Sacramento Kings game?
You've never been to a Kings game?
I have not been to a Kings game.
I'm straighter than you.
No, you're not. And despite the fact that I lived across the street from Arco Arena, now Power Balance Pavilion,
PvP.
I did not go to a Kings game, and there's two reasons why. One, basketball tickets, the cheap seats, and they had cheap seats, those went out pretty quickly. So those weren't really that readily available because everybody named Hector bought them really early.
I think that was racist.
I'm just saying. And the other reason is the Kings suck. So there's that. I'm not a big enough basketball fan that I want to watch a team I don't care about that suck.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And I'm more of a Lakers fan, and Lakers tickets.
You're one of those people. You have to pride in your hometown.
Well, my hometown isn't Sacramento.
You live here, so it's your technically hometown?
Technically, okay, fine. But, yeah, so if you want to go to see the Lakers against the Kings, everybody who has season tickets puts them on StubHub to make a huge profit because they're not really Kings fans. They're people who are like, you know what, I'm a Kings fan, but you know what, I can make a lot of money because the Lakers are coming to town to beat them by 42.
True.
So that's kind of how it goes. But that's why I have not been to a Sacramento Kings game.
I went to a Kings game once. I was in this program where, like, you get matched up with a kid in foster care. We can't say his name, but he was super fun, and we did all this fun stuff. And one of the things we did, we went to a Kings game, and part of the reason I'm pretty sure they matched me up with him is because when we met for our placement after all this training, they're like, you know, he really likes to dance. And I think it was their subtle way to tell me they think he was going to be gay. But long story short, so we go to a Kings game, and their halftime entertainment, which he was very excited about, was Jazzercise. It was the ladies of Jazzercise.
Wow.
And all they did was like a 10-minute routine. And he was like, shouldn't they be doing something? And I was like, yeah, that's kind of boring. So I felt
cheated.
When
did you go to this game in like 74?
No, it was a year ago.
There's another reason why I haven't been to a Sacramento Kings game. The halftime entertainment is Jazzercise.
Like, no offense, the King girls are gross.
Whoa.
They're bad dancers and kind of
skanky,
promiscuous looking.
I like the Sacramento Kings dancers on Facebook, so I'm not going to say a bad word about them.
Oh wow! Mountain Lions
girls. Here's what I will say about them: they're local girls. They are local girls, and that's kind of what you get. You get your local girls.
I like how some pro teams actually have real cheerleading squads. Since like college cheerleading is so good, they actually have co-ed cheerleading squads and they do stunts and stuff. My friend, hello Jennifer, she's a feature twirler for the Miami Heat.
Nice.
Orlando. What's the team in Orlando? Magic?
Magic, yeah.
She's a twirler for Orlando Magic.
Nice.
Hi, Jennifer. You should listen.
Well, if she's not, she can't hear you say that.
Hi, Jennifer Marcus.
You're gonna have to tag her on Facebook in this.
I totally will.
There you go.
She's glamorous.
I want to know this. I want to know what the hell is going on in Scandinavia. And I'll explain, because last week we had the everything going on in Norway.
Oh, yes.
Here's the other thing that happened in Scandinavia. A Swedish man was caught trying to split atoms in his home.
What? Is that even possible?
Okay, well, let's go into this. A Swedish man was arrested after trying to split atoms in his kitchen. He said he was only doing it as a hobby. Look, you
That's
know, I
awesome.
Love I love nuclear fission, but I'm going to do it, or fusion, I don't know which it is, because I don't do it in my kitchen. That's why America is so far behind. Nobody in America
has that hobby.
It has a hobby of trying to split an atom in the kitchen.
People here's hobby is meth.
But,
look, I'm just trying not to cut myself in the kitchen is really where it goes.
Scrapbooking.
Scrapbooking. That is awesome. But
how did he even set that up?
And how did he come to their attention?
He was doing it as a hobby. He told the Associated Press he had the radioactive elements radium, americanium, and uranium in his apartment in southern Sweden. How do you even get uranium? When police showed up and arrested him on charges of unauthorized possession of nuclear material.
That's a pretty badass crime.
Right. The 31-year-old said he had tried for months to set his about his experiments, describing how he created a small setup there. Only later did he realize it might not be legal. And here's how they caught him, since you asked. He sent a question to Sweden's radiation authority, which answered by sending the police.
Oh, my goodness.
Dear radiation authority.
You know what he should have done? Used eHow.
It's probably on there, or eExpert on YouTube.
Is that on Grindr? No, it wouldn't be on Grindr, would it?
Okay, you're more gay than I am. You've not got a basketball games. You've talked about pop divas, and you know Grindr.
Well, I know Grindr because you talked about it in the first podcast.
Yeah, I don't like Grindr. I like Scruff. Ooh, we should get them to be a sponsor.
It seems like he has that much like cool radioactive stuff. He should have made a Back to the Future car instead.
Yeah.
So here's what he said. He said, I've always been interested in physics and chemistry, and he wanted to see if it's possible to split atoms at home.
I mean, I had to give him some points for creativity and ingenuous. What's that word?
Ingenuity.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm not good with some words like that.
But seriously, I saw that come across, and I'm like, really? What the hell is going on in Scandinavia? Because I would understand if this was happening in the winter when they have like 2 hours. No, it's not the hour.
But here's what I'm even more confused about. Okay, so think of IKEA, right?
Sure.
And think of all their model apartments. Mm-hmm. They're itty bitty teeny weenies.
Right.
So how do you have enough counter space in Scandinavia to try to split atoms?
Atoms are really small.
Yeah, but that still requires. Like, I wouldn't have room for my KitchenAid mixer and my iced tea machine.
Well, I think that's the answer. You don't have an iced tea machine. You try and split an atom in that space.
I guess.
Because they're small.
That is awesome.
That's Scandinavia.
So, and I'd understand this stuff if it were the middle of winter when they have 2 hours of daylight, but it's summertime. Get outside, fellas. Come on.
Everything's expensive in Scandinavia, so maybe he wasn't going to the bar. Beer's like $12.
Well, how much is uranium, though?
If you go to the Ukraine or Latvia, it's not that expensive. There's a good Ukrainian. I'm not going to say I've been there. But if you go to Riga, Latvia, there might be an open place in a market where you can get some.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oops, I didn't say that. What?
That's great.
Don't go in my kitchen.
Meanwhile, back here in America, they have been trying to legalize medical marijuana in your home state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Go Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Here's
the problem that they ran into. They didn't get enough signatures to make it happen. Although they said they did. The proposal needed 1,000 signatures, but just 534 of the 2,134 turned in were deemed to be valid. The signatures were needed to begin the process of giving voters a chance to consider the proposed Ohio Alternative Treatment Amendment to the Constitution in 2012. Supporters propose making it legal for doctors to prescribe marijuana to patients and for the patients to possess it. So basically what happened was they sent out a bunch of stoners with these petitions, and the stoners didn't get the forms filled out properly.
I am shocked at this.
I know, to verify what it was. That really just sort of amused me. Not just because it was Ohio, which is the cold version of Florida.
I don't know if I should be insulted by that or not. I'm confused.
Well,
we have some really amazing stuff going on in Ohio. Come on now.
We have the best amusement parks.
And we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And the first Wendy's.
There you go.
Just saying, those are pretty awesome.
You know what I picture is a bunch of stoners sitting in their house, wicked high, and just thinking of different names and just writing them down. You know what would be a really fun name?
Yeah, exactly.
Weed in my pants. Yeah, man.
Beelzebub Jones. Write that one down.
Okay, here's what I think. Okay, I don't do drugs. I've never done marijuana, even though my parents didn't believe me when I told them that. Here's what I don't get. When you say you could do it for medical reasons, it's why don't we just legalize it? Because a friend of mine has a prescription here because he blinks too much. Literally, he blinks too much, and it slows down the rate that he blinks his eyes.
Nice.
Really? I want to know, what is that condition called?
Blinkitis, I guess.
It's called being alive.
Yeah.
He blinks too much.
I just want to go into one of those places and see what kind of doctors are working there to give the prescription.
There, by my gym, there's actually a sign I think that there must be a dispensary or whatever there. And it says, like, quickest, easiest exams, everyone guaranteed. It's the kind of doctors there.
Your freckles are uneven on one side of your face. Do you need weed for that?
And basically, it's like with anything else. I mean, if you have enough money and your back hurts, you're going to get one. You can say anything. I get headaches. My back hurts. I blink too much. And
I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
I don't eat enough Doritos late at night.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, I want to support Frito-Lay in a more aggressive manner. And I'm just not doing it. I'm not hungry enough for the snack chips. So I'm going to need a prescription for something, and it's going to need to be more.
I have all these pizza rolls in my freezer. I don't know what to do with them.
Oh, that is nuts. By the way, you called me gayer than you. You know what I've been working on? This is actually really amusing.
Oh, God.
A Harvey Fierstein impression.
Okay. How are you not gayer than I am?
Because I like having sex with women. Oh. There's that. So I violate the prime directive.
I want to hear it, though.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'm going to try to do Harvey Fierstein. I'm working on it. I told you I was working on
it. It's good. It's a good.
It's not good. It's in the very infancy of it. And here's what I want people to understand: that this is a voice that someone said, you know what, Harvey, we want to put you on Broadway to sing. We're going to put you in a musical, and it's going to be awesome.
I love that he was doing the kind of gay hand gesture.
You have to.
He was fully committed.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something, you really do need to be fully committed to it. So, yeah, I've been working on a Harvey Fierce.
Congratulations.
That was wonderful. I loved it.
You're welcome. I'm going to take a virtual bow and a little sip of my beer right now.
Aww. Oh, and he's Jewish.
Yeah.
Really, Harvey Fierstein is Jewish.
He's a gay Jew.
What? That's crazy talk.
Love the gay Jews.
That is crazy talk.
Oh, like, what's his name? Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons isn't gay. How dare he? I'm sorry. I couldn't even get through the sentence.
I was like, really?
All right. Mr. Bean. We all know Mr. Bean.
Yes.
Rowan Atkinson. He crashed his $1 million sports car into a tree in a lamppost in England. He's okay.
Was he rioting?
No. He was. This was before the riots started. I was reading some accounts of it. Apparently, his neighbors say he drives around like an idiot.
Shock you.
I know. He's
really funny, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So he has crashed his $1 million.
Can't he just go out and buy another one?
McLaren F1. I don't know. I think it depends on how his new movie does coming up, because he's got a new movie coming out. It's a sequel to Johnny English. Yeah, I know. Everyone remembers the Johnny English movie.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what that is. Yeah,
exactly. Well, basically, it's like a silly man's James Bond. And when I went to see Captain America, there was a trailer for that just before the movie.
Do you remember the movie he was in with, like, Whoopi Goldberg?
No.
And they were chasing money.
Rat Race.
Okay, I have to make a... I'm getting on a soapbox for a second.
Here we go.
He played a narcoleptic person. And as someone with narcolepsy, he did a very unjust representation.
Was it worse than my impression of Harvey Fierstein?
It might, yes. unequivocal. So I still think you're funny, although I wish you should, I think you should offer an apology to the narcoleptic community. We're forced to be reckoned with.
I just find it interesting that Mr. Bean, because everybody goes, hey, you know, you can't tax rich people because that just wouldn't be fair. They're already paying too much taxes here. Well, in England, they pay a lot more taxes. And Mr. Effing Bean can buy a $1 million sports car.
It's true.
So, yeah, tax people. People who make money, tax them. Tax them. Just give them some fucking taxes. Yank that tax rate up. That's what I'm saying.
You're a socialist.
That's right. I'm a freaking socialist. I love the fire department and the public library.
You are crazy wanting public services.
I know. It's awesome. Public services. Hey, public service. I had the best idea ever. Now bear with me for a moment. They're closing all the borders.
They're closed.
And they have the Seattle's best coffee in all the borders. Here's what I'm proposing. I'm proposing that every public library puts a Seattle's best coffee stand in the corner. Because you would make so much money off.
But aren't they saying the libraries are going to close? I mean, nobody's using them anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's why libraries are getting Wii's and stuff to help get people in.
Right. But here's the thing about Borders. Borders essentially was a library with a coffee shop in it because nobody bought anything at Borders. That's why they closed. Because if you walked into Borders, it was like about 40 assholes who just went in there and sat in the comfy chairs and read books. Yeah, and Mel's pointing to herself.
I did that at Barnes & Noble this weekend on Sunday. We were waiting to go into a movie. Went to Barnes & Noble for an hour.
There you go.
Didn't buy anything.
I fucking hate that. When I was a kid, if you went into like the drugstore, don't give me that look. When I went into the drugstore... I'm getting fired up. If you went into the drugstore and flipped through a magazine for more than 5 seconds, there was some guy behind the counter going, hey, this isn't a library. And now... You have Borders, and this is why Borders close, because people go into Borders and Barnes & Noble too, but they go into these bookstores and they pick up a book off the shelf, and I've actually seen people do this. They bring their own fucking bookmark. They bring their own bookmark to the bookstore because they're going to come back another time and finish the book.
That's awesome.
No, it's not. It's the biggest asshole move in the universe.
I sometimes go to bookstores, and when I see a book I want and flip through it, I will take a picture of its bar tag and then go online and see where it's cheaper.
That's fine. I have no problem. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is people who sit there in the bookstore and read it. I spotted this older Asian lady. God bless her heart. She was asleep with a book open. She was in one of the comfy chairs, leaning back,
reclining.
Those
chairs are comfy.
And she had a book across her chest, and she was sound asleep.
My only, you know, I do it all the time, so I can't say much. I've read entire books in an afternoon. But I don't like when people break the spines on books if they're not buying them. I don't like.
I would agree. That's crossing the line.
I'm very careful when I keep the book like almost semi-closed, and I read very carefully because it's not my property. And I don't want to hurt the book.
You're a very nice citizen.
Yeah. So back to what you said a second ago, because I've just been stewing ever so slightly.
Yeah, you really have been.
And I'm not real. I don't want to get into it because I don't think this is really. I don't think, you know, politics isn't really where we're going to go. And I'm not. I don't have a strong enough conviction to really get on a soapbox and have an argument. However, and I'm pro people being taxed. I'm pro having services. However, I just have an issue with people that work really, really hard and are very successful and then get punished for it. And the people that don't do jack shit get all the free services. And it makes you not want to work as hard. I mean, if I put myself through school and I got my master's degree and you get your doctorate and you open your business and you work your ass off and now you have to pay more because you're being punished for working your ass off, where other people get free food, free medical, free services that I'm paying for. And that bothers me a little because I work really hard for what I have, and why should I have to take care of everybody else because I worked hard? Why don't I just stop doing anything? And I think that's where this country is going. Everyone's like, why should I earn money? Because you're just going to take it away and give it to somebody who's not doing shit and stays home all day.
I think that's a specious argument because, first of all, you're not making $30, $40 million a year.
She might be. To be fair, we don't know how much money Mel makes.
Fair point. But I'm talking about people who are making multiple millions of dollars a year. The guy who owns the LA Dodgers paid zero taxes last year. Not one fucking dime in taxes. Not one thin dime. Now, you paid your taxes. I paid taxes. You paid taxes, Larry. But the really rich people aren't necessarily paying taxes. Some of them are, but a lot of them aren't, and a lot of corporations aren't. And I agree with you. I don't think people should be given stuff for free. When I was in Vermont and I was 24, 25 years old, I was out of work for 6 months and I got unemployment benefits. But when tax time came around, I was taxed on those unemployment benefits as I should have been, because right, that's all part of income. And I completely agree with that. I don't think people should be given a free ride because I think it just sort of it gives people just enough so that they don't want to do anything.
Yeah, we're creating generations of people that don't work and don't have that ethic to work. And then we've got people that do work really hard and get basically punished for it. And it just, I guess it's sensitive.
And I agree with you, but here's the thing. And it's hard because I feel like I have I feel like sometimes I have beliefs, but then when I'm in situations, for example, I'm at the grocery store and I see someone in front of me using an EBT card to purchase like name brand cereal instead of a generic cereal, I can't help but a little part of me is like, wow, that's nice that you're choosing to do that. I hope you're enjoying the money I'm paying for that.
Right.
However, I think it's easy to look at individuals and feel that way when I wish that it was easier, or I wish I had the capacity to better understand the immensity of how much. It's easy to get mad at one person buying cereal, but like, why don't we look at corporations or oil companies who earned billion-dollar profits and are still getting tax incentives to do research and all those things. And so I totally hear what you're saying.
And I love, you know, and I love the people that are the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gates that are giving so much money back. And yeah, I think all the big businesses should do that. I mean, if you think about it, like if you're making $1 billion and you give a million,
it's like really
away, you know, you're really not denting at all. And you could build a school, for God's sake. I mean, the amount of waste in this country makes, you know, does make me want to vomit in my mouth a little. But I think it's maybe the middle class and the upper middle class I get sort of protective of and defensive.
Of course.
Isn't it something like the top, and I forget the exact numbers.
The top 1%.
No, not the 1%. There's actually like a number, like the top 820 people, wealthiest people in the country, own something like 68% of it's something insane.
Yeah.
I don't know the, I will do some research and next week we'll have the numbers, but it really is something like a very, not even smaller than like 0.5% own an enormous amount.
And I wish they, you know, and I do think they should pay the same taxes and they should be taxed. But at the same time, I go like, so what, you know, like, okay, this is an embarrassing admission, actually, because I was watching a show that I'm a little ashamed to say I watched the other day, but I watch it and I enjoyed it. Undercover Boss.
Oh, that show makes me cry sometimes. Which is ridiculous, but I think everyone that watches it gets a little teary.
Yeah, I might have missed it a little bit. And the guy's from 1-800-Flowers.
Oh, I saw this one.
Right. And, you know, these guys started as florists. They had a flower shop in New York. And then they went to like 15 shops, and then they, you know, they went public, and they have franchises, and they're gazillionaires. But at the end of the day, these guys are millionaires because they started with a flower shop and they worked their asses off and they earned that money. So we're going to take all that away from them because they made it rich.
I don't think anyone's saying they have to like live destitute.
No.
But it's hard for me to feel bad for people. And it may be easy when people complain about. It's hard for me to have any level of sympathy for people complaining about their level of taxation when they have multiple properties.
But you just feel like, so why should they have done that then? What was the point of them working that hard if they don't get to have what they earned?
No, but they do get to have what they earn. I mean, if their tax rate goes from 36 to 39%, they're not going to be destitute by 3%. They're just not.
No, but the flip side of the argument, which I think is very valid, and Republicans are doing a decent job, and we don't call them ultra wealthy, we call them job creators.
Which is bullshit.
If we tax job create, I understand the argument from, I actually really do understand the argument that if you tax higher regressively, that results in lower spending and higher unemployment and things like that. But like, there just has to be like, this is, and California I think is a good example and why California is so fucked up. And I think unfortunately sort of California leads the country in a lot of things. And I think this is another one where everyone wants every kind of service imaginable and kind of wants the government to interfere in lots of areas of life. But then no one wants to pay taxes. No one does. Poor people don't. Rich people don't. People don't want to pay fees to license their cars or to do anything. But it's kind of like people, we all have to give a little bit.
Yeah.
And I feel like most people get that in their daily life. Like you get the common sense like, okay, well, things are more expensive and I'm not making as much money. So I cut back a little bit and do, you know, or I work more, do whatever. It just makes me nuts.
I think I've always been very frustrated too because I guess I've always considered myself to be one of those straight down the middle kind of people as far as being a middle class, hardworking person. I went to college. I worked. I put myself through school. I got my master's degree. I got a job right away. I didn't take time off to travel. And you watch, you know, fucking Oprah, who gives a crackhead who got herself off drugs and got her kids back from social services a house. Like, really, Oprah? Like, I was never a crackhead. I didn't have a kid out of wedlock.
Maybe you should have tried harder.
Right?
It's true. Maybe you should have.
And for some reason, that just pisses me off that you have to be, you know, a miserable person to get stuff or somebody
who's... How many crackheads are really getting houses?
I know, but, you know, that stuck with me. I watched one of those shows, and I don't know if it was Rosie, Ellen, Oprah. I don't remember, but I just remember being infuriated because you do feel like, you know, you get on drugs, and there's services for you. You get homeless, there's services for you. What about somebody like me who's just working my butt off every day just to get my bills paid? Nobody gives a shit if you're toeing the line, nobody cares.
Well, yeah, it's true. Like, if you have a credit card and...
Man, I'm a whiny bitch today.
Mel's cranky.
Did you get a bunch of bills in the mail today?
Right. But like, I did get my water bill. Thank you, Carmichael Water District.
Nice.
I'm sorry I have to water my garden. Whatever.
How dare you. But it's true. Like, if you have a credit card and you're carrying a balance and you're like, you know what? You call up and you're like, look, man, I'm barely scraping by and I'm trying to make my payments. And is there anything you can do? And they're like, nope. I know people who they're like, look, I'm not sending you any money. I don't have any money and you're not getting any money because I don't have any money. And for them, they cut deals because a little bit of money out of the deadbeat is great. But for someone who's busting their ass, they're like, you know, we really can't lower your interest rate from 20 down to 14% because
really high interest rates, people.
Yeah,
well, and it sucks when you have stuff that they can take because if you have nothing to take, nobody can come after you. But as soon as you start owning stuff, Now you're vulnerable.
Right.
And you can never take your sense of self.
And if you're, it's true. If your credit rating is shit, you don't care.
Oh, like your country.
Yeah, exactly. And in California, the best thing about this whole credit thing in California was John Chung came out and said, you know what, it really doesn't matter if they downgrade us because in California, our financial rating is so shitty, yeah, it doesn't really matter anyway.
We have the worst credit rating of any state in American history, people.
Yay!
Go California.
All right. So in more political news, a suburban Phoenix man is recovering after police say he accidentally shot himself in the penis while putting his girlfriend's gun in the waistband.
They're encouraging
pants.
People to wear holsters.
It's true.
It's we're Arizona, right?
Yes.
Land of craziness.
He is 27-year-old Joshua Sito and his fiance Kara Christopher were walking toward a grocery store when the shooting happened last week. The gun fired, striking Sito's penis and continuing through his left thigh.
I love that he felt the need to carry his grocery store to the, his gun to the grocery store.
Have you been to Arizona where they're kind of proud of that? And like, I'm not even talking about the whole immigration thing because my views on that actually aren't even all that really awful. Like, I don't think it's crazy. When I go to the grocery store and I use my American Express card, they ask to see my driver's license.
Sure.
I don't think that makes them racist. But
no.
Anyway, what kind of gets me about Arizona are they're kind of like a collection of people who kind of take pride in being dumb. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, they're kind of like, yep, I need my gun to go to the grocery store, even though, like, there's 1,900. And what's his... I don't want to use that word. That's really disrespectful. What I find most interesting is their number one... Because Arizona has some of the most liberal concealed carry laws. What I find interesting is they always say, well, if there's ever an incident, we would be able to protect ourselves and other people. Yeah, Arizona
his penis wasn't protected.
No.
His penis wasn't protected, nor was representative that woman. Giffords. She wasn't, and no. Guess what? No one shot her, even though there were lots of people that were carrying weapons. Doesn't make our society safer. Sorry, I'm off. Wow, we're really... Well, I'm at least very soapbox.
My favorite part about the story, and I'll post a link to this on the show extras page, is at one point in the report, you get to say hear the newscaster say, his fiancée's... pink pistol in his pants.
Heck yes.
Nice.
And if your fiance has a pink pistol, you might want to double check to make sure that you're in a state where that's allowed to.
Mel, do you want
to
go shooting?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Fantastic.
Do you go shooting, me?
You know what? I did target shooting when I was a kid, but I have not done it. I haven't done it. I grew up in Vermont. Everybody has a rifle or a
Isn't
shotgun.
Isn't that how you get
something.
Maple syrup out of a tree? You just shoot it?
Yes.
Like, it's called tree hunting. Maple hunting.
I went with my brother last time I was back in Ohio. He is an amazingly good shot.
Fantastic.
You could have
brought him along on one of your missions.
Sure.
He could have run the flank to get everybody the
perimeter,
cops let go.
Perimeter.
It's fun. Hey, everybody know Big Boy from the rap band Outkast?
Oh yeah, I'm so shocked about this news.
He's busted on drug charges.
What? Oh my God!
Now hold on. He just had some ecstasy pills, some MDMA powder, and of course because he had ecstasy, he was gonna have a good time. He was carrying a bunch of Viagra.
Good for him. Well,
good for him.
Hello.
Planning ahead,
I guess. He's a planner. He's like a Boy Scout. Hip-hop artist.
He may be a planner, but I don't think he's really a player anymore.
Well, not if he needs Viagra. Yeah,
that's exactly.
Kind of sad.
I heard that, and I'm like, really?
Well,
okay.
I mean, his name is Big Boy, so I assume he's a big boy. So maybe with the extra body fat, he just has a hard time getting it hard.
No, fat people have sex longer. That was a study. True story. That fat people actually have better sex lives. And they also have sex longer, and women orgasm disproportionately significantly higher if their partner is a fat man.
Hey, now.
I need somebody to test that with.
Hey, baby. I'll lose my gold star with you.
In the Bay Area, I got some sports news now. This is awesome. There was a syndicated talk show host named Tony Bruno. He has a well-known catchphrase called, "That's an outrage!" That's not really a catchphrase, though. I'm just reading here. Which adequately represents how Giants manager Bruce Bochy felt about him after he called his reliever Ramon Ramirez and, quote, illegal alien.
Oh, yes. I heard
no.
this. Yeah.
No, yeah, he did.
Yeah. Why?
When I first heard the story, I thought he said something different. People were being maybe overly sensitive. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's not even room for debate about what he said.
He called him and Ramon Ramirez hit one of the Philadelphia Phillies the other day. Shane Victorino, who is Hawaiian, not a foreigner, but Ramon
Hawaii is not one of the good states.
Ramon is from the Dominican Republic. He has pitched in the major leagues for several years. He is not, in fact, an illegal alien. He has all the paperwork necessary.
Of all the insults, that's what he came up with?
I know, right?
Well, he could have done a lot better if he was going full racist, but that's an outrage. Apparently, this guy, Tony Bruno, he's a Philadelphia fan, so he was upset because he hit his guy, and he just let his emotions get all emotional. So, anyway.
It always makes me funny when people, I forget her name. Who's the woman on Desperate Housewives? The Latino girl.
Oh, Eva Longoria?
Yeah. She's on one side of her family. She's seventh generation American. Like, her family's been in America for, like, one side forever. And so they asked her something about how she feels about immigration. She was like, I don't know. You should ask all these white European people because I'm a seventh generation. My family have been in America. I don't know how more American I could be. It was really funny.
Nice.
Makes me laugh.
Anyway, to finish the whole thing up, Bruce Bochy said, forget the remarks about me. That doesn't bother me. For a guy to make a racist comment like that and to have the ear of so many people, that bothers me. I can defend myself as a coward. I don't know if you can defend yourself as making a racist comment. And here's the best part of the story. Bochy added he has no idea who Bruno was.
Aw.
Hey, that guy.
Touché.
The guy who said my reliever was an illegal alien. I have no idea who he is. Bruce Bochy also just quit chewing tobacco with hypnosis. That was on the Giants pregame tonight. So there you go.
I saw hypnotist at the fair last weekend.
I saw the hypnotist at
the
fair.
She was good, right?
Yeah, she was fun.
I was surprised.
She was the best faker there.
I like hypnotist. No, like, I've been hypnotized a couple times. Really fun. It was good. Just feel like you're drunk. You have to be really willing to do it, but it's really fun.
It's just suggestion, I think. I did some research in graduate school on hypnosis. And
I definitely think it works. I mean, I was hypnotized. I did think they would. And I'm pretty open and do crazy shit, but I did things I would not have done. Like, not uncomfortable things, but I definitely, like, I followed whatever she asked me to do.
I think a lot of that, too, is, A, it's the power of suggestion. B, you have to be willing to do it. And the other thing with those sort of public hypnotist shows is you're in front of a crowd and people, most normal people have the compulsion to do what's expected of them because that's how we're trained and we're raised, and they don't want to embarrass the hypnotist. They don't want to look stupid in front of the crowd. So a lot of people, what we found in our research, you know, was a lot of people would do stuff, A, because, you know, you were being asked to do stuff that wasn't so crazy, you know, that it was out of your comfort zone, and also because you're in front of a crowd of people, and though that's an added influence.
Can I ask you an unrelated question, but okay. Related? So, okay, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. So in grad school, did you use APA style for documenting like notes and stuff? Like,
yes.
Okay. Is there like? Do you think now they have like APA? Okay, Nate, wake up.
It's been a long time too.
I know, but this is. So I'm curious what your thoughts are. I was thinking about this the other day because now communication is in so many different forms. Could you like? How would you cite a tweet?
It's all in the books.
That's
now,
what I think.
Because
I know
books.
Like there's personal communication, yeah. But I didn't know if I'm gonna look that up. I'm just curious. We're dorks sometimes.
Yeah, there's a way to document all of that now.
Or like a Facebook status update.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. I have to snap back to consciousness for a second. I know.
Are
sorry.
We talking about England yet?
We are not. We're gonna do it in a second. I have to talk about Howie Mandel first.
Howie
Mandel.
He won't touch anyone's hand.
He won't. He will not. He is a germaphobe. He is the host of America's Got Talent.
He is a perfect example of how you don't need talent to actually make it.
Same as Mark Summers from Double Dare and Unwrapped. He doesn't touch either. Oh. He's like has OCD.
Yeah, here's the fun part of that Howie Mandel story because we've established that. He has moved his offices of his production company into the Vivid Entertainment building.
That's oh my God, I know exactly where that is.
So he is now in the same building as the largest adult film company.
Now he really can't
in
touch anything.
The world.
That's awesome.
That is crazy. So that brings us
kind of by City Walk.
Yeah, in that same general area. So that brings us to, and somebody said we need to get a theme for Cool or Tool. So why don't we do this? I have something devised. So why don't you say cool, pause, and then I'll do something, and you say tool.
Okay.
Ready?
Cool.
A.
Tool.
A. There we go.
Wow, that's like amazingness.
That was
I know.
Fun.
It's a low-tech version of the way to do it. All right, so cool or tool, number one, Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, and his $1 million car crash. Cool or tool?
Cool. Mr. Bean is always cool.
Yeah, I mean, just because you're famous, lots of people crash cars. I mean, I don't think just because we all hear about it because he's famous, I still like him. I think he's amazingly funny, and I'm sorry he crashed his car.
Think of the jobs he's creating for car repairmen.
Right.
If you wrap your $1 million car around a lamppost in your own neighborhood, you're kind of a tool. I'm sorry. Mr. Bean, Tool.
Stuff
Tool.
Happens. What if there was a kitten that ran out into the road?
Two cools, one Tool.
Yeah.
I didn't say I was winning. I'm just voting. Bruce Bochy, who has no idea who Tony Bruno is. Bruce Bochy, for not knowing who he is, cool or Tool?
Cool. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, Bruce Bochy is absolutely cool.
Yeah,
he's cool. He's Mr. Fucking Freeze. And not like the Arnold Schwarzenegger lame-ass movie version with George Clooney, Mr. Freeze.
Do you know he was wearing a shirt that said, "I Survived Maria"?
Yes!
So wrong.
Yes, yes.
So, like, he got a shirt where it was, like, when he was leaving office, "I Survived Maria." It was kind of funny then, not now. He wore it the other day in public.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he crossed out the 2007, which was, like, the second term of his governorship, and wrote in 1970. Apparently wrote in 1977, which is when they started dating, but yeah, I don't think they started dating in 77.
Weird.
So I think it's all a bunch of BS. I don't think it makes any sense at all on any level.
Weird.
Because I don't know when they couldn't have started dating in the 70s. Seriously?
That doesn't. Sure.
Weren't they married for like 20 something? Oh, I'm 33 and I was born in 78.
Yeah, it's that doesn't make it. The math does not work out. And the last, of course, is germaphobe Howie Mandel for moving his entertainment company into the same building, his Vivid Entertainment, cool or Tool.
This is a hard one.
I know.
I'm not sure that I have feelings about that one way or the other.
I have a feeling.
Maybe it's more ambivalence. I'm going to say cool because I don't think it's toolish. I'm going to say cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's tool. I think it's funny that he's a germaphobe in a porn company.
A place of crabs infestation.
So, but maybe he'll get free porn, and that's awesome.
See, I think it's cool because I think it's his first attempt to overcome his fear of germs.
He's going full out with a cum-soaked building.
Yeah! Cum-soaked building.
I would love to be like a repairman for Vivid, because every time you show up to like the accountant's office to fix the copier, like, I'm sure they're like, "I need to fix the copier, ma'am."
How bad would it be if you're like the Domino's guy? Every time you show up there, somebody tells a joke.
Totally.
How bad would it be to be just like a regular receptionist there, and every delivery guy's like, "I have a delivery for you," and she's like, "Just leave it on the shelf."
All those companies have real employees. They're like accountants and like all that boring
it's a business.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's just it's a boring office job for most of the people there. But I guarantee every delivery guy that walks in the front door, the receptionist gets, "I have a delivery for you."
Okay, Larry, another shameful admission and question all rolled in once. Have you watched the Paris Hilton reality show?
I have my limits, unfortunately. Fortunately, I have not.
I actually have watched
it.
Again, more gay than I am.
Did you see the storyline about her assistant that she hired that wrote porn? So she followed her and she worked at one at. It wasn't Vivid, though, was
no,
it?
No.
But it was another big name porn company.
What do you write?
She writes like the story.
Premise.
The dialogue?
The story outline. Story outline.
A horny man sleeps with a girl.
Yeah, pretty much.
With the internet now, does anybody actually watch a full-length movie?
I don't know.
Not that anybody did anyway, but
I don't need a whole movie.
That was the reference, Mel. Thanks.
Yeah.
I actually did see a little bit of, yes, I watched a little of the Paris Hilton thing. So?
I was busy watching hockey.
But they showed them walking into like the lobby, and it was just like receptionists. They're like, "Is so and so here?" And they're like, "Oh, she's upstairs working.
She's in conference room A."
Yeah.
You walk in and there's like a screen test going on. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, I didn't watch that far. I watched like the first two episodes, and I'm like, this is just really fucking boring. Here's what I found out about Paris Hilton. She's boring as all shit.
Yeah.
She is boring, boring, boring. She is
hot.
No, it's not. She is literally the most boring human being walking the planet.
Do you know Kesha was on The Real Life with Paris and Nicole Richie? Do you remember when they toured around for a while?
Yeah.
Their show. One of the places they stopped was Kesha's mom's house in Tennessee. She was on the show.
Wow.
Kesha, fun fact.
Who knew?
Kesha's coming to UC Davis in September.
I think Larry just overtook me in the gay department.
Yeah, he's back in the lead.
He's way out in front.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about you continue talking about Paris Hilton?
And Paris Hilton, here's what I know about Paris Hilton. She is the most boring person on the planet, which I said before, and the only reason she is famous is because she has two sex tapes, one of which was found in one of those. She put it in a, how do you make a sex tape and put it in your storage locker in New Jersey and then go, "I forgot about it.
I guess I should go to my storage locker in New Jersey."
Because that was the second one. That was how the second one came out. So let's talk about London. We wanted to talk about London.
Please.
You want to talk about
Can
London?
We? Okay, so here's the thing. So it's funny, one, I'm a little floored it's not getting as much coverage in America as it should be. Two, I think it's interesting. So everyone's like, why are they rioting? So, like, they shot this guy. The police shot this guy. Well, and first of all, let's even backtrack further. London, well, England, but especially London, has had, if you want to talk about, like, the poor get poor and the rich get richer, London is, like, so far ahead of that, it's ridiculous. So there's a pretty large group of poor people in London. And so they shot a guy in a poor neighborhood. He was the father of four, supposedly had a gun. There's a lot of controversy. So they had a prayer vigil, right? And people were really angry that the police weren't investigating enough, so they went to the police station. Some people got a little bit crazy, but nothing happened. Then, since then, everyone, like, there's not, I hate to say there's not a reason to riot. It literally just turned into a bunch of hoodlums. And I love English people because their language just is different. So it's very funny to see elected officials on TV talking about the gangs of thugs running through the town, burning things, where no elected official in our country could ever say that and still be elected.
Well, no, yeah, because they would assume gangs of thugs meant black guys.
Exactly. And what's weird is that, like, they started in predominantly, like, a black neighborhood and poor neighborhood. And now it's really, my friend Ross, hey Ross, he wrote my Facebook wall earlier. He lives in central London, but he lives a mile from where a lot of it's happening. And one, you can smell the fires. Because it's like that's how much everything's burning. And he's like, now it's just a bunch of, like, people are angry because it's just people who are just out to, like, steal shit and cause chaos. It's not about even making a political statement, which even if you disagreed with, you can at least say, oh, now literally people are just doing it to be freaking crazy. And they're fine. They have 16,000 police in the city of London tonight. Well, now it's after tonight, but that's nuts. And there was a Google map they put on my Facebook wall that one of my friends posted from England that had all the fires. It was nuts.
They look like little teepees.
They were all over the place. It's crazy.
It's just sad.
London has encountered more damage in the past 2 days than they did during the Blitz of World War II.
I just understand what the point is at this point when you're just destroying your own place.
If you don't have anything, if you're relying on the government to pay your rent and to give you food.
Well, now they're not because now they have to fix everything. So
much.
Well done.
Yay, well, that's going to help the world's economy.
Well, yeah. I mean, really.
Well,
I mean,
they're paying for cleaning up people, so they made jobs.
They did.
Well, I mean, before.
Who wants to go to the Olympics?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, the same thing happened in L.A. right after the Rodney King verdict, and it started as we're protesting the Rodney King verdict, and then it turned into
I want a free TV.
I want a free TV.
Jinx.
I want a free TV. I want some free kicks. I want this. I want that. And, yeah, I mean, they locked down L.A. for weeks. And L.A. is an Olympic city, too. I mean, in 84, they had the Olympics in L.A.
Do you know what I think is funny, slightly, is that they canceled England was going to play Holland, I forget who, in soccer. But they had to cancel the match because they couldn't divert the police because all the police from, like, 4 hours around London have all had to go to London. So they canceled a game. Now, if you think about English soccer fans, how do you think they're going to react by the fact that they've canceled a game?
Riot?
I think it's going to be funny if they riot over the fact that riots caused our game to get canceled.
Because the riots aren't just in London anymore. They spread. They're in Birmingham and Liverpool and all over the place now.
I posted on Facebook, there's an English restaurant / kind of little grocery store not far from where I work. It's like across the street in the corner. And I was looking out my window all day because I was convinced a riot was going to break out in North Highlands.
Well, that could happen anyway, but probably
that's
not
true.
Related to the English tea room.
Luckily, it did not. I was on the lookout for the British, who I don't like anyway because I'm Irish. But I
just want you to
friends.
Be in North Highlands and scream, "The British are coming!
The British are coming!"
Yeah, I'm Scottish. I don't really care for the British either. I mean, to be fair, I mean, all they did was plunder my ancestral land and
Bloody Sunday, bitches.
There you go. Yeah. So basically, Larry, you're saying fuck them.
No, I'm saying...
Burn it to the ground.
I hope it ends soon. Ooh, but I am planning to go in the Olympics. So I hope they get that settled out.
Well, and then there'll be more, place, burned.
Maybe it's just that... Maybe it literally... Remember how in Atlanta... I don't know if you guys remember this. The city of Atlanta gave homeless people $1,000...
Oh, I thought you were talking about when it burned.
Oh, no. they gave homeless people $1,000 in bus tickets, far away because they didn't want to have to deal with homeless people during the Olympics. It was awful. They literally, it was like the city's organized plan of how to deal with homelessness
That's
during
awesome.
The Olympics.
No, you were half right. The awe was right. The full replaced that with some. That was awesome.
Yeah. It was crazy. Maybe the Olympic Committee, because England's kind of landlocked. Maybe that's how their plan is to get new land available for new venues.
England isn't landlocked.
No,
it's island.
No, London. Because, London's, part of the reason London's so expensive is that it's so, I do, in my mind, I know everyone else is thinking this. Do the writers stop for tea and scones? Excuse me, Chop, don't build the building. I need to make my scones.
Right, it's 4 o'clock.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they actually really start rioting until dark because they're really. I saw one picture today of a dude doing like a Jackie Chan karate kick into a shop window.
Nice.
So I don't really think he was protesting so much the government's treatment of the poor as much as he was trying to get himself a gold chain.
Did anyone else see the picture where a man has a pony?
No.
There's this picture. There's this huge fire in the background, and this man has a pony. And, like, London's not exactly an agricultural city or even an area with lots of open green space, so it was rather funny to me that this guy had a pony. It's one of those pictures that, like, you almost think it's Photoshop, but it wasn't. And it didn't have a caption. I need to find it again on USA Today.
Maybe the pony wanted to go on the eye.
Maybe the pony was angry and was kicking shit in.
That's true.
Bitches.
It could have happened. It's crazy.
You made your pony sound like a sheep, I just had to say.
I'm not good at... What do ponies sound like? Do you know they're training miniature horses to be assistance dogs? Like, assistant dogs?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Because
they live so much longer
than
dogs.
Right.
They can do everything.
But I don't think they're training them to be assistance dogs,
yeah,
though.
Assistance animals.
Yeah.
They poop way bigger, though, so that would be kind of a problem.
No, you get one of those little bags that hangs off their butt. I love like those.
A colostomy, sort of.
They're so cute.
Really.
Oh, like you give to women when they're birthing. I see.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, if you're new to the podcast, we hit that a couple of shows ago. You're going to come back and get that one. Sorry. I don't know. Anyway, we're running up on the hour mark, so now it's time to wrap up with what's pissing me off this week.
Oh, I thought you were already pissed off by the thing before.
No. I've been angry about a lot of things. This was...
got some anger issues. The two of you have got some anger issues.
Well, Mel's up late, so she's kind of cranky.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. The way it goes. Mel had a weekend, and we can't really talk about it, but Mel had a weekend, so
she was just very busy.
Yeah, so she was already a little hectic in her mind. And
this weekend?
Yeah, this past
the one that
weekend.
Just passed.
Oh, yeah.
Did a lot of driving and stuff.
So, anyway, this morning, I was up early, and I decided at 6:30 this morning I was going to go on a walkabout about Midtown. Yeah. 6:30 in the morning. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day. And I have a new slogan. It's called it's going to replace the one that you all know, which is the early bird gets the worm. It's the early hobo gets the cans.
It's true.
Because at 6:30 in the morning, there's two types of hobo, especially in Midtown Sacramento, and I'm sure wherever you are, if you have hobos, you have the same thing. You've got the hobos that are out stealing cans from recycling bins all around the place, and who cares? It's a recycling bin. They're going to recycle
it. I just actually leave my cans out for them separate.
That's what I do. I just put them in my mind. I call that recycling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have CRV here in California, so you get money for it.
Right. I've toyed with the idea of throwing it at them from my moving car.
Nate, darling.
I said I've toyed with the idea, not that I've done it.
I'm toying with the idea of calling you insensitive.
Yeah, well, you're going to more than toy with it in a second.
Oh,
so anyway,
I'm
scared. I'm walking around Midtown Sacramento. Of course, I see the hobos that are up early collecting their cans, which is that's
working
fine.
Hard.
That's fine. I have no issue with that. That's great. And then, of course, I see other places where the eternal campers have decided to sleep in.
Yeah.
There's one sort of religious place on like Capitol and 24th or 25th.
Yeah, it's by my house. The house of worship.
Right, and it's got like it's got like some pillars, and it's got like a front.
It's super gaudy and tacky.
Right. But on the front, there was one side of the front, there was a homeless dude, or eternal camper, if you'd like to call him that, with sleeping bag and bike and stuff on one side. On the other side, there was literally a tent. There was literally a tent there. And they were hanging out there, and that's fine, too. I got no issue with that, if the church has, or whatever it is, has no issue with that.
It's covered.
I don't care. And then I make a turn on J Street, and of course there's a few of them sleeping like in storefronts. And I mean, if it's your storefront and you don't care, that's fine. I don't care either. But a little bit, I get back home, I get ready, I get on my bike, I'm going to work. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop at the grocery store, a little corner store that I've never.
A bodega, if you will.
Sure. If you're in New York, it would be a bodega. Or if you were in New Delhi, where I think this fellow was from, who ran the store, whatever you would
you
call that.
You're really racist today.
I'm not. He was an Indian fellow who barely spoke English. He ran the store. And I have no issue with him either. He was fine. But as I'm chaining up my bike, I go inside, and two of the eternal campers, one goes in front and one goes in behind me. And as I'm going in to get my Gatorade this morning, and this is at 8:30 a.m., the guy in front of me gets a 40 of Cobra malt
Hell
liquor.
Hell yeah, live large, motherfuckers.
And the guy behind me gets two cans of Steelhead.
Oh,
Nice. Which is
how would I hang out with them?
It was a hobo sandwich with Nate as the meat.
Mm, yeah, it was awesome.
Yum.
It was awesome. 8:30 in the morning.
Breakfast of champions.
And I'm not necessarily angry with them because that's what they do. I'm angry with all the people that tell me, no, they're victims of society. You know what? No, they're not. Because that fucking malt liquor will still be in that store at 12:30 in the afternoon. And you know what? They don't raise the price by $2 a bottle at noon. You can go in afternoon and get it. Get a fucking muffin or a cup of coffee.
Nate, darling.
Right. And anybody who's going to go, oh, no, you're insensitive to the planet. No, I'm not. I was at the laundromat on Sunday on what I call homeless wash day. At the laundromat over here.
Yeah, they're nice, but that's a little creepy over there.
And that's fine. Nobody was ever an issue. Sunday morning, the laundromat I go to is filled to the rafters with homeless people and their bikes, which is cool. Never had an issue. Never had an issue with any of them. My issue is with the people who go, homeless people are a victim of their own circumstance. And no, they're not. Because if you're buying malt liquor at 8:30 in the morning, you're a victim of your own alcoholism.
Which maybe it's a coping mechanism.
I was saying, somebody's going to go, but they have an addiction, Nate. If not, they'll get sick.
I think it'd be pretty sweet. How do you know they didn't work a night shift?
I don't think they were working anywhere.
How do you not know if they're a very granola surgeon who just likes to go camping a lot and and went camping, then went into surgery, now wants to celebrate successful surgery by drinking some nice malt-chilled beverages?
Because no amount of scrubbing is going to get that man sterile from
maybe
the operating theater.
He just went into a well to save a baby.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly what it was. He went into a well to save a baby and said, you know what? I'm going to celebrate now saving a baby's life with a 40th Cobra malt liquor.
What else do you celebrate with? Hi-C?
At 8:30 in the morning, a nice Starbucks would do. Or you could go to Java City, or you could go to Pete's, or you could go anywhere else you'd like to go.
I like that in Sacramento, there's a Pete's Coffee, and diagonally across, there's a Pete's Pizza Place, and they're both spelled differently. And it's funny because inevitably on any time on a weekend, there'll be people kind of arguing, I'm at Pete's. Where are you? I don't see you. It's kind of fun. I want to open another place on another corner that's called Pete's.
On that same corner, there's a parking lot. If you want to buy the parking lot and put up another Pete's.
Pete's parking.
You'd have Pete's parking. Just to really fuck with people. Yeah, I'm hanging out here with my friend, the surgeon, and the world beater. We've got some steelhead and some cobra, and we're having a party. It's 9 a.m., bitches!
How do you know they weren't going to an early morning costume party?
How do you know they weren't pledging the fucking fraternity? There you go.
True.
You can go the other way. So anyway, that was kind of what irritated me.
Wow, you had some anger there.
I was mad the other day because a homeless guy asked me for some money, and I actually gave him some.
Why?
And then he
no.
turned around and kicked a trash can and yelled at me.
You never give money to homeless people.
Why not?
Okay, here's the stance. If you ask people that work in homeless services, they'll agree with me.
And I totally agree.
Because it enables bad behavior.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, what really bothers me is that if you really want to help people, you can give that money to organizations that actually work on improving the lives of those people. And really, what really bothers me is this is especially true, like when people are in their car and there's a man with a sign and they give him $2. One, that person probably isn't homeless. They're probably a scammer. Two, that person legitimately felt like they did something and they've done nothing. Like in their mind, they're like, oh, I'm a good person. I just gave money. And I'm not trying to knock their intention, but really they've done all they've done is help perpetuate that activity.
Yeah. No, yeah, I actually totally agree with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I have no problem. Like I'll just like, I think it's really insensitive to just ignore them, but I have no problem. Be like, nope. And
I knew a person that used to always offer to just take them inside the nearest restaurant and buy them a sandwich, and they never took her up on it.
No. I always offer them to buy I offer to go to the closest bodega and buy them some malt liquor, but they only want Zima, which they don't make anymore.
No, they don't make Zima anymore.
I'm going to be a hobo that has very expensive drinking taste.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's
I'm sorry. Ooh, Merlot, really?
Look, I need some Grey Goose. I mean, I need money for Grey Goose because that's the only vodka I will drink.
You know what also makes me crazy is, you know, there's a guy in town that's a comedian who's a really funny guy, but he actually did an experiment where he collected money.
Keith Will Jensen.
Yeah, and he made pretty good money. And I just think, like, I would love to go spend a day begging and see what you can really pull in, because I was at Pete's, coffee place.
Oh, okay.
And the guy in front of me was a well-known kind of local homeless guy who I'm not going to give him his name because he pisses me off that much that he shouldn't get airtime. He shouldn't get his name mentioned.
What are you talking about?
And he was in front of me and he was doing the I don't have enough money to pay for my coffee game, where he was like counting coins on the table and being all slow and stressed out about it. It's a total scam. So the guy behind him goes, I'll get it. Puts like $2 out. And the guy goes, oh, no, I have enough. Takes the dollar, puts his change, takes the other dollar, takes out a huge wad of bills, wraps the dollar around it, puts the bills back in his pocket, takes his coffee and walks out.
Yep.
I wanted to punch him in the face.
Listen, his scamming is really just a victim of circumstance.
He
That's all it is.
He owns a house in Folsom, I'll bet you, that fucker.
He has his maid doing his pool cleaning today.
If you go to Portland, Oregon,
meth capital of the meth teen capital.
If you go to the Voodoo Donuts in downtown Portland, there are signs everywhere that to back up your point that say the same thing: do not give money to homeless people. If you really want to help, give it to this charity here that helps out. Whatever. And then they follow that up. They don't stop there and say, because the people that are begging have threatened and actually harmed our employees. So, and you know, I do feel bad for the homeless people that are homeless because they have a mental illness and they haven't found a way to get help for it.
Deinstitutionalization and homelessness rates are very closely linked.
Mm-hmm.
So that I feel bad for. I feel bad for the people who are legitimately homeless because they have a mental illness that prohibits them from being able to lead a normal life. But I see far too many people that are just people who make shitty choices, who decide to buy malt liquor at 8:30 in the morning.
And take no responsibility for themselves.
And take absolutely no responsibility for themselves. And that's kind of what ticks me off. But you know what? I think they should go to Arizona and shoot themselves in the penis.
Yay!
And here's the other thing we learned tonight. The penis will not stop a bullet from going into your thigh because it went straight through his penis into his thigh.
He could have a piercing now.
He could.
He pees out the side of his penis.
I don't want to think about
that. Nate, you didn't give out the email address. Make sure people send us more questions. I love questions.
Right. If you want to email the show, it is NateDarlingShow@rocketmail.com.
Rocket mail.
And we will answer your question if you send it to us. We want to thank our friends at Huge Entertainment.
H-U-G.
HugeEntertainment.com. There's a link to them on our show extras page if you'd like to check them out. They will DJ. They will party. They will do whatever you need to do to make your event the best it can be. And they make our podcast the best it can be because this is their equipment we're doing it on.
Thank you, Huge.
We like you, H-U-G.
Sure. We like them. We like everybody else.
We like you, H-U-G. Oh, yes, we do. We like you, H-U-G, and we'll be true.
Hey, you know what? We should make a road trip to Howie Mandel's production offices.
I'm in.
There we go. What are you making that face for?
I think Vivid only does opposite gender adult films.
No. They do some girl-on-girl stuff, too.
Ew!
On that note, on that note, we are going to go out and say thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
With my friend Larry.
Goodbye. Adios, amigos.
And my friend Mel.
Bye. Next time I'll talk about how I found a baby one time.
Nice. Meow. I am Nate Darling. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you again later. Bye.